Tom Weber on NPR News. An investigative story over the weekend by USA Today says Target and other big retailers contracted with California trucking companies that exploited drivers. USA Today says these drivers were forced into debt to buy the rigs that they were driving. They worked up to 20 hours a day and sometimes earned just pennies on the hour. Brett Murphy is the reporter who wrote the story. He joins me now to explain what's going on here a little bit more. Brett, I thank you for your time. I appreciate you calling in here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Questions about this story for Brett Murphy, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1, and please don't call or text if you're driving. Before we get to Target and the retailers, tell me what's happening here.
Yeah, so pretty much there's this fleet of drivers out there. You know, up to 16,000 of these guys, and they move containers just right off the pier to nearby warehouses and train yards. And what the model is out there at a lot of these companies, we found at least 60 of them who have done this. They don't use employees, drivers. They use what are called independent contractors instead. But since these guys can't afford the rigs themselves, the companies drew up these lease-to-own contracts with them. And then they've just been deducting payments from their weekly checks ever since. And what that equates to is sort of like a pay-to-work sort of deal where not until maybe Thursday or Friday every week do you start actually making money to take home, because so much of it goes to the truck. It goes to the lease payments, the insurance, the diesel, everything. And what we found is that a lot of these companies have been using that debt, that weekly debt, as sort of a cajole to make guys work around the clock, to make them work sometimes for free, and it's all for this promise, right, that they're one day going to own this truck 5 or 7 years down the road. And we found that a lot of the companies don't do that. They fire drivers, or they do something else called starving them out of the truck, where they stop assigning guys work. And when they terminate that contract, the guy loses both the truck and all the money he had paid into it. So that can be, you know, more than $50,000 in 4 or 5 years of their life all gone in an instant. And that's sort of kind of pervasive across the industry, we found.
So we're interested in this show, Brett, about covering Minnesota topics, and clearly the Target connection is something we'll talk about in a moment. But with what you're talking about, we had a show a few weeks ago about the container side of this, the containerization of the economy, boats going across the ocean from Asia to the California coast. And you know, you try to be a Minnesota-focused show, but you realize every single thing that you're looking at right now, every single thing you're wearing was in one of these containers. So you have the trip from Asia to California on a boat. Then it sounds like you have these trucks moving them off the boats to a warehouse. Is that the only truckers we're talking about? Because then you would have the long-haul truckers who are going across the country, right?
Right, yeah, so that's a really good point. Even though it might seem like a faraway sort of city or harbor of activity, it's really pretty much half of everything that you're wearing or sitting on or driving comes in through these two ports. If it's manufactured on the Pacific Rim, it's coming through L.A. Long Beach. Good shot of that happening. So when it comes here, it's a really tiny part of the supply chain, these truckers I'm talking about. It's anywhere between 5 and 100 miles, right? Which equates to just a tiny part of the whole thing, but it's really critical. It's at this juncture. So once they get to that warehouse or that train yard, you're exactly right. It's destined for the whole country. So they'll get to that warehouse, and then a long-haul guy will take them out to Minnesota or New Jersey or Florida. So even though they're coming through L.A. Long Beach, they're ending up in stores all over the place. That's why places like Target have such a vested interest in what goes on there.
Is the scenario you're describing, though, for which the article in the weekend edition of USA Today is titled "Rigged," is it only happening in California? And if so, why?
Yeah, so that's it's a really important point. I think we know that the model is not unique to California; that it happens in other sectors of trucking, probably in other ports too. But what is unique about California is an environmental law there. It came about in 2008, and the new rules pretty much said no more clunkers can come onto the port. These things with 2 million miles on them are spewing diesel into the air, so we're going to ban all these old trucks. And since everybody in the industry is an independent contractor who was driving their own rig, that put a lot of guys in a hard spot. It pretty much put all those truckers and all those trucking companies all of a sudden out of work because nobody could afford $100,000 new clean truck. And that's, again, unique to California, and that's when the trucking companies were at sort of existential crossroads, and that's when they came up with this lease-to-own thing. So it's not unique to California, but it's certainly pervasive there because the entire industry went to this model, and even the big players down to the small, really small outfits all are kind of using the same system of labor.
Brett Murphy with me, the reporter for USA Today. If you picked up the weekend edition, you know, the USA Today has one edition for the weekend, if you don't know that. And last weekend, this was the cover story. I'm holding it right here. I'll tweet out a link to the story as well. Your questions for Brett here, 1-800-242-2828, as we talk about this trucking story that he did, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1, and please don't call or text if you're driving. So we just explained why, even in the absence of a Target, a Minnesota-based company like Target, even in the absence of that, this still affects everything we do here in Minnesota because of how connected our lives are to these ports. But let's bring them in. What is the connection then to retailers? And it's not just Target, but retailers like Target.
Yeah, so it, really early on, a lot of these trucking companies, it's such a razor-thin margin industry, right? They can't really go to their customers, which are Target and Best Buy and everyone else, and say, we need to jack up prices all of a sudden because of this new environmental rule. So you need to kind of work with us and help us promote this new contract system we have here, this lease-to-own thing. So Target took a really active role in promoting it both to Congress with literature. They even created a lobbying group out in California with some of the trucking companies, with a lot of other big retailers like Nike, Home Depot. And these guys, they took a really active role in Sacramento, and they were talking to other retailers in Washington, all trying to promote legislation and block other reforms that would help cities kind of regulate these trucking companies more. That would some of these laws would, for instance, convert independent contractors to employees. Those employees would have full rights. They'd be guaranteed minimum wage. They could organize. So places like Target have kind of taken an active role in helping sort of the trucking companies operate how they best need to, so they can keep their prices where they're at. Also, the idea of unionization at the ports has been a longstanding struggle with retailers because of the longshoremen. They see what happens on the other side of the fence when the longshoremen, the guys who move the containers actually off the ship, decide to go on a strike. So that's kind of another part of it. And Target was also out there with its trucking contractor, which is Total Transportation. They were out there for a lot of marketing events, kind of just talking about how great this model is, how it's mutually beneficial, how it helped these truckers keep their job and these trucking companies stay in business. So it's been about a decade now of their involvement.
By the way, what you're talking about with the unionization there, if you're not an employee and you're just a series of independent contractors, you can't unionize because that would be considered collusion. I mean, it's one of those things about labor laws. So that's a key point here to make, is that these men and women are independent contractors. It's actually also what Uber does. That's why Uber isn't unionized, just as a sidebar.
Right.
What about then, though, when we talk about when you go to these companies, the response isn't about the legislative lobbying they've done that you just described. It's about whether these people work for us. Is this really our problem? Is this really Target's problem if these truckers are working 20 hours a day? They're not employed by Target.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they didn't want to talk about the lobbying stuff. I did ask them about that. But you're right. They said, listen, these companies, a lot of the time, they're not even on contract with us. You know, Acme Trucking isn't – we don't have business with them. We do business with another business that does business with another business. It's kind of this network of contractors and subcontractors. And they say, hey, we have this code of conduct. We have these policies for our supply chain vendors. And mandates, everybody follows the laws, everybody adheres to these ethical guidelines, but, you know, the onus is not on us, on me, Target, to be policing the supply chain. It's sort of impossible for us to go in there and audit our stateside trucking companies. A lot of the places I called, a lot of the retailers I called, they didn't even know who was moving their containers, let alone all of the labor violations that had been leveled against them. So I was actually kind of informing them all along, and they said, you know, we're not trying to wash our hands of this or anything, but you can't really expect it to be on us. We have this policy, but that's kind of the best we can do.
Isn't that a good point, though?
You know, it is, and that's a point they tried making back when the child labor and sweatshop accusations started popping up all across Southeast Asia at their manufacturing plants. They said, listen, we don't hire the plants. We hire another company that hires the plants. So it can't really be expected to be on us. But even though they have these policies, I guess what the contradiction is that they don't check these things out like they do across the ocean.
I want to mention here that in a statement, Target did not comment on these allegations in Brett Murphy's story, but says that the mistreatment of workers by anyone that does business with Target is unacceptable. I'm reading here from a story by my colleague Marty Moylan when he latched onto the story there that Brett did. And here's Target's statement. Target is committed to responsible business conduct, and we expect all of our vendors to comply with our vendor standards and all applicable laws and regulations around labor, wages, overtime, and more. We also expect all of our vendors to follow all legal guidelines around the appropriate classification of their workers. Is that last sentence, the classification getting, is that about the independent contractor versus employee debate, or is that something else?
No, it is exactly right. It's okay. About, you know, and that's sort of the center of this whole thing of why all of these guys that I've been documenting, all these truckers have come forward in some way or another, right? Either to me, to the California Labor Commission or to civil court. They've said, hey, they've been calling me an independent contractor for 4 years, 5 years, but I'm actually an employee, so they shouldn't have been charging me for this truck. Look at all the control they had over me. Look how much they made me work. So that's why, you know, that's where all the other stuff I documented came from, these testimonies and from all the evidence that they brought with them to these Labor Commission hearings or to court. But it all, at the heart of it, every one of these issues is that they were misclassified independent contractors, that they never really were. They were really just employees that were treated much worse than any employee should be able to be treated. But because they were called contractors instead, they didn't have labor law to fall back on. You know, the Fair Labor Standards Act, National Labor Relations Act, none of it applies to these guys. You know, even OSHA doesn't have jurisdiction if one of them gets hurt or dies on the road. And that's all because they're not employees.
Let's go to the phones here. Brett Murphy with me, reporter for USA Today, 1-800-242-2828. Jim is in Buffalo, Minnesota. Hi, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that kind of touches on the subject matter at hand. A lot of companies out there, they'll dictate your schedule of maintenance for the truck, so they'll be able to control when you put tires on, for instance, like they're half used, they'll make you put them on for a stupid reason. And then that's how they get to own the truck, essentially, too. And they'll do that five different times to five different guys if they have to get a free truck out of the deal. And another point, if Target was so innocent, why would they pay lobbyists to keep targeting some of the smaller independent contractors, you know, as far as regulations go? Because we're already regulated almost out of business. Mm-hmm. And another point, it doesn't speak to the freight per se, but I'm more in the gravel side of things, and they make it so, the Davis-Bacon law, for instance, makes it so that I can only pay, the truck only makes $5 an hour on a profit after I pay all expenses. There's no owner in the world that'll keep in business at $5 an hour.
And Jim,
it never gets passed through to me. The contractors always keep it.
Yeah. And so, Jim, obviously, to say the obvious, you are also a trucker. I should have said this. So you have some experience in this as well.
20 years, yeah.
20 years. Well, Jim, I'm glad you were listening, and I'm glad you called Brett. Jim brings up this point about other ways in which trucking works, where the trucker has to pay for this or has to pay for that out of pocket. How do the examples that Jim gives, different or maybe the same compared to what you were exposing in your story?
Yeah, so Jim hit on some really important points here, and it's this first thing my poor truckers would tell me is, you know, look at my check, look at my weekly deductions here, and they start, you know, going through them all, and I went through hundreds of these things, and it'll be deductions for maintenance, like Jim was talking about, for the diesel, and then for parking, for drug tests, One company I found was even charging the drivers for the office toilet paper and office supplies. Some company owners figured out that they can pretty much deduct anything from these settlements without really explaining it often. And I should have mentioned earlier that 90% of these guys, probably more, are immigrants, all documented legal immigrants from Central and South America. They don't speak any English. So when they handed them these contracts back in 2008 or later, they didn't really know what they were getting into, and they weren't explained or translated. They didn't let them bring them home. So when they get these deductions now, a lot of the times they don't even know what it's for. But it is only through like the other the additional reporting that we found out kind of all these crazy things that were getting drawn right from their checks.
So
like Jim was talking about.
You have this concept though of lease to own, which I think is pretty common in trucking. What's different about this lease to own than any other lease to own? I mean, the thing about trucking, if people don't know, is that a lot of the truckers either do or one day will own the truck they drive. And then they go around hauling the trailers.
Yeah, you won't find too many truckers that I've talked to anyway who have seen lease-to-own deals that they've liked.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the time, and what I found down there is that you're leasing the truck from the same company that either owns or is financing indirectly the truck through a third party. And what these contracts kind of mandate, or either through the insurance, which you also pay through with the company, is that you can't use that truck for anyone else. So if the going gets tough or the pay is bad or your dispatcher is not giving you the work you like, you can't kind of take it and just go start working for someone else.
Hmm.
So it kind of means you're stuck with the company that you're paying the truck through. And if things start going really sideways on you, you can't do much about it. And what that means for these guys is that they kind of have to put up with these checks that can sometimes dip to 67 cents, I saw one guy have. Other times it can be so bad that they actually owe their boss money at the end of the week.
They'll get
a negative check, like an invoice.
The guy, because of this lease to own, whatever the quote-unquote payment on that lease was and whatever other expenses there were, his check at the end of 2 weeks was for 67 cents?
67 cents at the end of 1 week. So it wasn't so bad as 2 weeks. But
well,
yeah, 1 week. 1 week, 67 cents. And it can, like I was trying to say, it gets worse, man. There will be times where they actually have to pay their boss. They'll owe them like $100 or $40, and they'll just take that out of their check next week. So they don't go home with just nothing. They go home with a debt that gets carried over.
I thought there were limits, and you're talking about people with 20-hour days of driving. I thought there was a limit on how much a trucker can drive in a day.
They're only supposed to drive 11 hours in a day before they have to take a 10-hour break. They're only supposed to be on the clock working 14 hours a day, so that means they can take a couple hours for lunch and for breaks and stuff. But what these guys are doing, either because they have to just to keep up with the payments or their dispatchers have forced them to in various ways, they'll work 16-hour, 18-hour, 20-hour days, 100, 120 hours a week. And what they do is, as any trucker will know who's keeping paper logs, it's pretty easy to doctor these things. You'll have one real logbook that's documenting all your containers you're moving, and then another a falsified one in case an inspector pulls you over. So they doctor these things, and a lot of the companies have showed them how to do that. We found in the reporting that drivers say that some companies withheld paychecks until they doctored their manifest just to protect the company from regulators. So this sort of thing is known. In other words, a lot of the drivers say the company knows how much I'm working and they don't care.
Let's go back to the phones here. Travis on the phone here in Iowa. Hi, Travis. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I guess I just kind of had a comment about corporations in general and Target being the focus of this one. I wish they would just kind of own up. It's almost like they're treating us like we're dumb. We know it's about the bottom dollar. They were lobbying for it. And I don't know. I guess more just a comment.
All right, Travis. I think another comment you gave to the producer here is if we want the cheap clothing, this is how it works. Brett, what about that? What if companies said in response since the story come out, what are we hearing on the ground there?
Yeah, so it's a good point. It's saying, pretty much this is a downward pricing pressure scenario. It all of a sudden, all of this weight onto the bottom of the supply chain, right? If we want to pay as cheap as you know, prices as we want to at the checkout line. If we want our Amazon delivery to get here tomorrow, this is the price somebody has to pay. You know, somebody has to pay for the clean air out in California with those new environmental regulations, and somebody has to pay for all the discounts that you get at the checkout line. But what a lot of other people would argue is that this is such a tiny part of the supply chain, you know, what so many economists say, it wouldn't matter. Even if you doubled the price of moving a container, the entire cost of one shipment over from Malaysia or Indonesia, it wouldn't adjust that much. And to be a responsible retailer wouldn't actually end up hurting your bottom dollar that much. And so, that's the calculation a lot of people want.
So you could pay these trucking companies more, and my T-shirt won't necessarily cost more.
It depends who you ask that question to.
Yeah.
A lot of industry studies and a lot of industry economists will say that it would cost a lot more. A lot of others say no, it wouldn't. But we don't know yet, I guess.
By the way, going back to the original point here is that there were these new laws about emissions and which trucks could be used at these ports, which forced all these companies to, quote unquote, buy new trucks, which they're doing this lease to own thing with. And the reason for that is because people live near those ports and they were breathing in the emissions and people were getting health problems. So there's a lot of competing interests here as well, Brett.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was in a lot of ways, the California ports were a couple of the most progressive in the country. They've just signed a pact between LA and Long Beach to have zero emissions altogether by 2035. And a lot of the questions now people are asking is who's paying for the clean air? The last time, you know, they tried to write it in that the truckers wouldn't pay. They tried to mandate that they had only employees down there because they, a lot of folks foresaw kind of these mass foreclosures, a lot of guys defaulting, trying to pay for these things. And when they tried to write that in, the American Trucking Association took the city of LA to federal court. They sued and they ultimately won because it's supposed to be deregulated. States and cities aren't supposed to be able to tell trucking companies that are moving goods destined across state lines how to operate their business. And when they did that, it kind of set the tone for how much you can just regulate these things. But there's a lot of competing interests on clean air and efficiency down by the ports.
What have you heard from policymakers since your story came out? I presume mostly in California.
Yeah, no, and federal as well. A lot of federal lawmakers have tried passing similar bills to help give cities and states rights to regulate their ports a little bit more. But since we came out, a lot of the folks we've talked to have said, you know, listen, this is right. You know, we can't just put this on the truckers. And going forward, we're going to have to really think more about how we're cleaning the air, how we're, you know, implementing these new policies. But so far, I haven't seen anyone write a new bill or anything like that. So I guess we'll have to wait to see.
What about on the other end of the chain here in Minnesota? Would there be any conversation to be had here about what's happening at those ports in California?
Well, it depends how far they want to take their supply chain responsibility. From what I've heard so far from some retailers, Home Depot is one of them. They've started making calls. They say they're doing their own private investigating into these trucking companies. But a question of reform would be, should these companies be held as accountable to their stateside operations as they are or as they say they are overseas? You know, should they be auditing? Should they be taking any of the civil liability of these trucking companies? Those are the questions that, is on the retailer's door now, and it kind of depends, you know, what happens next to see, you know, how they might answer that question.
The investigation is called Rigged, headline, Retail Giants Enabled Trucker Exploitation. It was over the weekend in USA Today. I'll tweet out a link to the story again, written by, reported by Brett Murphy, who is my guest here. Brett, thanks so much for your time. Good reporting. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
More at nprnews.org.